Ask you to open your Bible all the way back to the Old Testament, to the book of Jonah. Jonah. We're going to look at Jonah chapter 1. We're going to read the first three verses together, and then we're going to go from there. And I want to just look at this story of Jonah. And we're actually going to be turning from chapter 1 to chapter 4, maybe even back to chapter 2. I'm not really sure exactly what verses, other than the first three in chapter 1, the first three in chapter 4, and then maybe all of chapter 2. So, thankfully, Jonah is not a very big book, so you can just flip one page, or maybe be on just two or three pages altogether, and that's what we're going to do. And let's go ahead, and if you're still looking for it, just raise your hand so I can wait for a moment. So Jonah, who is considered a minor prophet, not because of his work, but because of the length of this book, in chapter 1, this is what we read. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me." But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and he went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. That's where I want to stop for a moment. And I wonder, how many people have ever over the course of your life, have you ever found a little bit in common with Jonah? I would say by the time we get done today, you're going to find that you have a lot more in common with Jonah than you really do. Now, I get it. You've probably, over the rest of this little book, the next three chapters, you're going to read that Jonah's finding himself on this boat with all these other people, and arises a great storm that the Lord sends his way. Why? Because he fled the presence of the Lord. And I would say maybe you've never found yourself out at sea and a great storm come your way because of the things that you've done or the wrongdoing that you did or the disobedience to the Lord. So maybe you aren't that much in common with Jonah. But I would say that maybe if it's not a sea storm, you've had other storms in your own life, spiritually, relationally, financially, due to your own disobedience to the Lord or your own wrongdoing. So I would say we might have a little bit in common there. And I know that you've probably never found yourself in the belly of a large fish. I'm not going to say whale because I don't want any text this week saying, "Well, my Bible doesn't say whale. Just a large fish." All right, I get it. We're just going to go large fish here. Maybe you've never found yourself in the belly of a large fish. But maybe you've also found yourself in those moments to where your own disobedience has left you feeling abandoned and alone and fearful of what is to come tomorrow. Feeling as if your life is now over, you have no hope, and because of all of your own mistakes and your own wrongdoings, you find yourself now, not so much in the belly of a whale, but in a season of abandonment or alone, scared, fearful of tomorrow. But what I want to look at Jonah today is how Jonah responds to the presence of the Lord, to the call of the Lord, not so much how he flees, but why. Before I go any further, I want to just flip the Bible over to Jonah chapter 4, maybe just a page there. And I want to start in Jonah chapter 4 and read the first couple of verses. And then I'll give context of what's going on, and then we're going to really get into why we might be a lot more like Jonah than we ever thought. Jonah chapter 4 goes on to read this. "But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. And he prayed to the Lord and said, 'O Lord, is this not what I said when I was yet in my country? That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish. For I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster.'" So Jonah is mad, and he reminds the Lord that the Lord is slow to anger. He reminds the Lord that he is a gracious God. He is merciful. He is abounding in steadfast love. And he is relenting from disaster. Why? Because Jonah, after he finds himself in the belly of the large fish, he cries out to the Lord. The Lord hears his cry, and the large fish pukes him out onto the beach, the Bible says. And then he goes to Nineveh, and he preaches. And here's a little Bible quiz, Bible knowledge. He preaches the largest revival service recorded in the scripture. 120,000 people in Nineveh repent of their sin and come to Jonah. But he didn't want to go. He fled and he thought he would get away from the calling and from the presence of the Lord. So he would get on the boat, he would hide out, and he would go. But here's what we have to understand, what we see in Jonah. One, there is no person on this planet, no acceptance either, that we could ever flee from the presence of the Lord. We can never get away from him or his calling or his presence. And whenever you read throughout the Psalms, you will read that there is no distance too far, too deep, too high to, you know, kind of escape from the presence or the calling of the Lord. It's impossible. And we see in Jonah, he wanted to flee probably because he didn't like the people, because the people of the Assyrian upbringing were very rough. And he was going to tell them what? To repent of their sin and return to God so that there would not be destruction come their way. Whenever you read 2, 3, and 4, you see that he goes to the people and he says, look, 40 days, the entire city is going to be destroyed, but if you repent, then God will honor it. So what happens is all 120,000 people come to repentance. But this message could be preached in any pulpit, in any state, all over the world today. I mean, the same message should be preached today. If you do not repent of your sin, beware, because destruction will come. I mean, we could even preach it to our own nation. Our own nation needs to know, if we do not as a nation repent of our sin and turn back to God, then destruction will come. Punishment will come. Because the more and the more that we as a nation steer away from, and flee from the presence and the protection and the provision of God, the more and more destruction and judgment will come. It is the inevitable. So the same message that Jonah preached to the people of Nineveh could be preached in this pulpit every single week. Repent of your sin or you will perish. Now, we don't have to go screaming it all throughout the city like Jonah did. Maybe we should. I'm not going to sign up for it because you could probably be beaten. I mean, you could be attacked. You could face a lot of bodily harm by doing that. Maybe that's why Jonah didn't want to go. But this is a question I want to bring to you this morning as we examine Jonah and we look at our own selves. Have you ever noticed that the way you live is based more on your personal preference than the principles of God? Have you ever found yourself living in a way that your life is based more on your preference than God's principle? Jonah didn't want to go. He'd prefer to just leave the people of Nineveh out. He looked at these people who were immoral, who were imperfect, who were brutal, and he figured to himself, well, I'm just going to escape. Maybe they're unworthy of God's grace. And I wonder if we might find the same problem in our own hearts at times, to where we might live certain ways or treat people in certain ways because of our own personal preference rather than God's principle. And what I want to do today is I want to look at a few principles that we find throughout Scripture. And this is what I did. I just made a short list of about 5 or 6 principles that we find in Scripture, and I paired it up with a preference. So it's kind of like principle of God's Word versus preference that we might face and we might fight, we might struggle with even to this day. And this is what I want us to do, is to see, are we living our lives truly based off of this principle that we find in God's Word, or are we living our lives based off our own preferences and our own mindsets and our own ideas, our own desires? Because Jonah was angry that the Lord saved these people. He viewed them as unsavable, unworthy, imperfect, immoral people that were not worthy of God's grace. And according to my Bible, he cries out to the Lord and he says, oh Lord, is this not what I said even when I was home? For you are a gracious God. You are merciful. You are slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster. And isn't saving people what God's all about? But Jonah had no part. He wanted no part in doing it. So here, let's look at a few principles versus preference that we may be struggling with today. The first one is kind of what Jonah mentions, but what Paul writes, that God is rich in mercy. A principle that we find throughout Scripture is God is rich in mercy. He has an immeasurable amount of mercy that we cannot measure the mercy that God has for us, because you and I, who were once dead in our sins and trespasses, we once should have been condemned to death because of our sin. He withheld that judgment and then saved our soul because of the blood of Jesus Christ. So the principle in Scripture is that God is has an immeasurable amount of mercy. Now, a preference that we may live with if we are not careful because of our own polluted heart is this. The principle, or the preference, is some people just don't deserve it. Some people just don't deserve it. They're not living the right life. They don't wear the right clothes. They just don't deserve it. Another principle is this. Jesus did not come for the well, but he came for those who were spiritually ill. Right? Jesus said, I did not come for those who were well. I didn't come for those who didn't need help. I came for those who were sick. He came to seek and to save the lost, the spiritually dead, the spiritually ill. Now, the preference is, well, Jesus must really love me because I'm at church. I try. I make an effort. He must not love them as much as he loves me because I'm doing good and those people are still sick. Those people are still ill. Those people are still living in sin. The principle is that he came for all people. Here's another one. And this particular verse, when we read the verse, it might make you get excited. It might make you say amen. Even while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's the principle that we find throughout Scripture. The preference, though, may be this. People need to get their lives together so they can find Jesus and be saved. Right? I mean, if they would just get it straightened out, you know, if they would just get their marriage under control, if they would just stop spending the money, if they would just raise their kids better, if they would just get their lives together, they might be able to find Jesus and be saved. The problem is that if we are not careful, we will live with that preference. And what happens is that the Bible tells us that even while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So even in the midst of our own sin and our own brokenness is when Jesus died for us. And it's in that very moment that Jesus is able to forgive us of our sins, to cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness, and to redeem our very soul. So Christ is not one that is waiting for us to get it together and then we can finally accept the invitation of salvation. It's not a lifestyle of, okay, I'm going to stop these habits. I'm going to stop doing this on the weekends. I'm going to stop talking to them like that. I'm going to stop thinking these thoughts. I'm going to stop looking at these websites. Finally, once I get those things done, now I can finally approach Jesus. No, Jesus is inviting us right there, right here where you are, right in that particular sin or right in that struggle. That is where we call upon his holy name. And that is in the moment that he is able to transform us when we cry out to our God. But our preference may be, well, if we just get our lives together. A principle that we find in Scripture is that the wages of sin is death. Paul says it very clearly. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. So maybe a preference that we may live with is this. Well, it's just a little of this. It's not that much of that. And, you know, my sin or sins isn't really hurting anyone. Surely it's no big deal to God. And we'll try to justify our own wrongdoings and say, well, it's not really hurting anybody. It's not really that big a deal. Surely it's not a big deal to God. My Bible says the wages of sin is death. That seems like a pretty big deal. I mean, to me, that seems like a very, very big deal. Here's another principle that we find throughout Scripture that Paul wrote in Romans chapter 3. That all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Now I want to team that up with the words of Jesus whenever he said, do not point out the speck in your brother's eye before or while you look around the log in your own. Now, a preference that we may struggle with, or a mindset that we might fight or that we might live with, is this. Is that it's easy to point out all of the sins in other people, especially the ones you don't struggle with. It's easy. It's easy to point those out. It's easy for me to look at you and look at what you're struggling with. And if I don't struggle with it, I can be very, very critical. I can be very, very judgmental. And what will happen is, I will, like Jonah, view you as someone that's unworthy of God's grace and someone who I'm not going to waste my time reaching. If we are not careful, that is what we will live like. We will be bitter because we have built our entire lives upon how we prefer life to look, how we prefer people to act, how we prefer God to move, how we prefer to work, how we prefer to make money, how we prefer to spend. And now here's another one. To forgive others so that we may be forgiven. But our preference is they don't earn it. Our preference is they've hurt too bad. Our preference is they've offended me too much. Well, we ought to thank the Lord that he does not treat us like we treat other people. Because if he were to treat us like we treat a lot of other people, like Jonah did to the people of Nineveh, then none of us would be forgiven. Because we offended the Lord enough that he had to die in our place. We have caused offense to the point where he had to send his only son to walk against or amongst sinful people to live a perfect life to die for us. So the principle is to forgive others so that we would be forgiven. But our first preference is, well, they just haven't earned it yet. Here's another principle. Last principle I want to discuss. Maybe one of the hardest ones to live. To love your enemy. Or to pray for those that persecute you. Now the preference is, well, if you don't vote this way or support that, then you can just go, hang on. No, surely we don't struggle with that, right? Surely nobody here says, well, if you don't vote the way I do, then you can just, I mean, we could tell some people on Sunday we love Jesus and on Monday we want to bomb half the world. I mean, if we aren't really careful, we will grow into this same position that Jonah found himself in, where God calls him to live one way and to do one thing, and Jonah flees so that he doesn't have to do it. And this is what I want us to really look at, is the very condition of our own heart. Because here's what I want to tell you. You want, just look around the room. For just a second, just look around the room. I don't know how many people are in here, but did you know that your neighbor is not just like you? You are not the exact same. The person two rows in front of you or three rows behind you may have voted differently last year's election. They may have. The person to the side of you may have different interests whenever it comes to spending money. The person in front of you or the person behind you may look at certain people a different way than you do. So the thing is that we are all not the same. But if we are building our lives based off our personal preference and how we view people and not building our lives based off the principles of God, then we will never accomplish what God is calling us to accomplish. Here's what God is calling us to accomplish. He may not be calling you to go to Nineveh in a sense that he's calling you to preach to 120,000 people to redeem an entire city so that they would come to repentance. But he may be calling you to love your spouse as he has commanded you. He may be calling you to raise up your children and to train them in the way of the Lord. He may be calling you to stop living in sin and repent of your sin and pursue holiness so that other people can see God in you. He may be calling you to reach that loved one or to reach that work employee or to reach that friend of yours that is far from the Lord, but they can't ever find the Lord because every time you're around them, you're so impressed, you know, you're so impressional around them that you just resort back to whatever they're living in. And therefore, you will not stand firm on the word of God and in the way of God, living in the principle of God to reach the lost so that those who are ill, spiritually dead, can come to salvation. And here's what we have to see in Jonah was he was an imperfect man himself. And he finds himself fleeing from the Lord. And the problem in this story is the same problem with you and me. Because there's quite the contrast between the principles of God that we find in his word that I just mentioned and some of the preferences that we may live with, some of the mentalities that we may possess whenever it comes to living this life in a broken world with other broken people. And the result is, unfortunately, us. And it's probably a greater result because of our own poor understanding of who God is and who we are. So if we have a very poor theology, a very poor study or knowing of God, then we will have a very poor understanding of ourselves. Because if we understood just the slightest bit of how holy and how righteous and how gracious and how merciful and how loving our God is, and then how imperfect and how immoral and how sinful and how needy and how whiny we are, we would be on our face every day. We would be finding ourselves in his presence every single day. That's why Jesus says, you want to know me? You better pick up your cross daily. You better deny yourself and you better follow me daily. Why? Because whenever we deny ourselves daily, we build our lives, our lives are then built upon his way and his word. Because if I'm not careful, here's what we'll do. We will walk with the Lord for a little while and then things will happen. People will offend us. The job won't happen. the home we won't be able to close on, the money won't be as good, or we might get sick, we might lose a loved one. And because our preferences are not being fulfilled, we will grow bitter. And here is what we see in Jonah, the same as in ourselves. If we build our lives based off preference, then we will be more attracted to possessions. We will be more attracted to power. But if we build our lives based off God's principles to love those who are the unlovable, to be the hands and feet to those who no one else wants to reach out to, then instead of being attracted to possessions and being attracted to power, we will be attracted to people. Why is that? Because to build our life off of God's word and to live according to God's way, we will look at the people that other people have written off and viewed them as unworthy, unlovable, unreachable, and we will say, those are the people that I once was. That particular guy was the one that I once was. So when Jonah flees from the Lord, he does so because he did not want those people to be saved. He did not want those people to find salvation. He did not want those people to find repentance. He would rather those people just die in their sins, stay away from the Lord, and just perish. And if we aren't careful, we'll be the exact same way, to where we will live our life based off what we prefer, how we prefer it, what feels good, what is comfortable, and we will try to manipulate the Lord to do what it is that we want done. And we see how that ended up for Jonah. He found himself in a sea storm, and he found himself in the belly of a large fish to be puked out. So the question is, do we find ourselves building our lives or living based more off our preferences than God's principle? And I mean, I could just sit down, shut up, and let you think about it. Do you live your life based more on your own preference? Do you wake up every day wanting to accomplish what you set out to do? Is it that you want to retire at a certain age so that you have this much money so you can travel here and do that? Or have you made it your life's mission to do exactly what God has called you to do? And he has called each and every one of us to make disciples of other people. But sometimes it's difficult to see other people worth being disciples. And sometimes it's difficult to see other people as those that would actually come to repentance, because if they're running through the bars, or if they're walking through the streets, or if they're homeless here and they're homeless there, I mean, surely God's not going to reach those people, right? I mean, surely they just need to get it together a little bit. We need to give them a little bit of help. They need a 7-step plan. And then once they accomplish that, God may reach them and God may save them. And we prefer it to look a little better. We prefer people to have their hair done. We prefer people to be buttoned up a little bit when they're around, right? I mean, that if we're not careful, that's what we will prefer. See, Jesus took a lot of heat because a lot of his time was spent in the presence of sinners. And he ate a lot of meals sitting around a table with a lot of sinful people and a lot of broken people. Even when he died on the cross, did you know that when Jesus died on the cross, every person that would call upon his name from that point until the entire, you know, existence of humanity would be coming from an unclean lip? Every single person that has called upon his name possessed an unclean mouth, unworthy of his very grace. But this is what happens if we look at Jonah, and we find it in ourselves that we will build our lives based off our preference. But the beautiful thing is found in Jonah chapter 2. So up to this very moment, you may have wanted life to look a certain way. You may have preferred this particular job and this much money, and you may have preferred to travel here and to do that, and you may have preferred that you know, God send other people to do the work that he's called you to, and you may have preferred that it look easier, or everybody stay healthy and nobody lose their job. It's just not always the case. And sometimes we find ourselves in this moment because what will happen is a lot of our preferences won't come to pass. Therefore, we will be bitter. We will treat other people like that. And it's all rooted in our own heart. But in Jonah chapter 2, we see Jonah from the belly of the fish saying, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. In verse 3, he says, for you cast me into the deep, into the heart of seas and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. Then I said, I am driven away from your sight, yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped around my head and the roots of the mountains. At the roots of the mountains, I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever, yet you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord, my God. When my life was fading away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. And those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you what I have vowed I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And it is in that moment that God heard his cry and answered his prayer and allowed him to be spit up out of the belly of this fish. So the beautiful thing is this. Maybe you have lived your entire life doing things how you wanted them done, trying to accomplish what you have wanted to accomplish, and not actually listen and obey the call and the presence of the Lord. However, today is an awesome opportunity for you to evaluate your own heart, to evaluate the condition of your heart, to look at what you've based your life upon and built your life upon. And maybe today may be that time of you crying out, maybe not from the belly of a fish, but maybe from the belly of depression, maybe from the belly of bitterness, maybe from the belly of, you know, this unsatisfaction, or maybe from the belliness of selfishness or self-centeredness. Because the longer that you and I live fleeing from the presence of the Lord and from the call of the Lord, the more and more that you and I will find ourselves being disappointed, broken, and bitter. And today may be a day that we just humble ourselves and say, here I am, Lord, whatever it is that you want to do in me, whatever it is that you're wanting to do through me, I build my life upon the way that you have called me to live. Maybe today is the day that you can find yourself in a place of humility and actually surrender to the Lord and say, for my entire life, I have built my life the way I wanted it. I have tried to live how I wanted to. And all the time I have been left broken. I've been left disappointed. Today may be the day that you just simply cry out to the Lord from that particular spot of in the bottom, not so much of a belly, but feeling in the bottom of your life, or in the bottom of a relationship, or in the bottom of a financial struggle, or in the bottom of whatever brokenness that you may be living in, and you just simply cry out to him. And the beauty of Jonah's story isn't so much about the people he reached, or about, you know, the preferences versus God's principle, or how he finally obeyed the call of God. The beauty in Jonah's story is that he serves a merciful God who heard his cry from the belly of a whale, even when he tried to flee and live life how he wanted, and he still heard his cry and answered his prayer. So today, the thing is this, you may have tried to live your life however you wanted, and you tried to build your life your way, and you tried to flee from the call of the Lord. You have felt the conviction. You have tried to flee from the conviction. You have felt God leading you to people, and you have just ignored them or abandoned them. Or maybe you have felt the promptings to get involved in one ministry or another. And for years now, you just continue to ignore, and you've continued to build your life however you've wanted to live it. Well, today may be the day that you choose to humble yourself and call upon his name. And what you will find is that your God is a merciful God who hears your cry. Your God is a gracious God. And one pastor I heard said that the greatest gift that Jonah ever found was a large fish. The greatest gift that Jonah ever found was a large fish. Now, to me, it doesn't sound fun to be swallowed up by a large fish. But it was in that moment that Jonah realized, I have ran away from the Lord time and time again. I have fled his presence. I knew how I should have lived. I knew I shouldn't have been doing this. I knew I should have just gone to Nineveh. But it was in that moment that everything was revealed to him. And the brokenness of his own life. And he said, Lord, have mercy on me. And he cries out to the Lord. Had he continued to live how he wanted to live, he would have never had that moment of revelation that he had been doing things on his own. So maybe today would be a day for us to just ask the Lord to reveal in our hearts and in our own lives ways that we have been fleeing from his presence, fleeing from his call, fleeing from his conviction, fleeing from his guidance, fleeing from his provision, and doing it all on our own. Maybe today is the day that we choose to build our life more on his principle and rather than our own preference. Maybe today is the day that we finally view those people that we wanted to ignore or leave alone for years and years, and now we have something worth talking to them about. Maybe the day is the day that we would look at our lives, the way we spend our money, the way that we spend our time, and say that it's been all about us. Maybe today is that day as Jonah had in the belly of a fish when he was completely broken and everything was, it was no longer spinning out of control because it was beyond that. And he tried living on his own and he tried fleeing from the Lord time and time again. Maybe today is the day that we finally cry out to the Lord after he's convicted us time and time again. Today is the day that he's revealed to us time and time again that we have been doing things completely away from him and apart from him. Maybe today is the day that we cry out like Jonah did, to just have mercy on me. And I promise you that you will find that you have a merciful, gracious Lord. So today is what I want us to do. I'm going to make it very subtle. I'm going to ask our worship team to come up. And Tim and Tanya are going to sing a song today. And as I sing this song, I'm going to give you time to pray where you are. I want you to come forward and pray with me or pray with another church leader or pray with your family or pray with your friend. But today I want it to be a day in which we finally find ourselves in that moment, as Jonah did as he was sitting in the belly of a large fish, in which it's now revealed to us that we have been fleeing from the Lord, living on our own, doing things our way, far too long. And Jonah said, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol, I cried, and you heard my voice. That was his cry. Just an imperfect man fleeing from the Lord, wanting to do things his way. He finally finds himself in a spot where he has no other hope but to just cry out for help. And he preferred that those people never hear the gospel, never hear about God's faithfulness and his forgiveness and repentance. But it was after that cry out that the Lord answered his prayer, heard his cry, that Jonah went on to preach to people, and 120,000 people were saved. Because of a man finally revealed, it was revealed to him that he had been doing life his way. And he finally surrendered and submitted himself to the Lord's will and to his way. So I just wonder how many people around you could come to faith in Jesus if you would start living how he has called you to do. I mean, maybe not 120,000, but how many in your family would finally come to repentance if you would just surrender and submit to the will of the Lord that he has for you? I mean, you've been doing it your way for years and years and years. But what if we just found ourselves like Jonah did and say, Lord, I'm in the belly of a whale. I've done it my entire life how I've wanted. And I see no fruit. I'm anxious. I'm worried. I'm bitter. I'm broken. Hear my cry. I mean, I just wonder how many people that you work with could be sitting next to you in weeks or months to come because you would finally say, here I am, Lord. I surrender my life. I surrender my heart to you. I choose to now build my life based off your word, your way. And my life is built upon the principles of my God. I just wonder. So as we sing this song, I want you to just wonder with me. What if today was the day that you said no more? No more living like this. No more doing that. I know it's wrong. I know it's sin. No more chasing the money. No more chasing the toys. No more. Today is the day that I am crying out, Lord, here I am. Send me. I repent of my sin. I call upon your name. I surrender to it, whatever it is that you call me to do. I just wonder what our city would look like if the people in it would truly surrender to the Lord. So as we pray and as they sing, I just want you to wonder too. Just cry out to the Lord and ask Him what it is that He wants you to do next. Who is it that He can lead you to? What person can He bring into your life in the next week or month that you can witness to, that you can share your faith with, that they can come to repentance too? Let's pray.